Ladies and gentlemen, this is our final boarding call and the doors will be closing soon. Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily. Thank you.
Welcome to this month's episode of Wheeler and Biller. Wait, no, that's not it. Welcome to this month's episode of Disney Plus Take 4, which I don't know if we've had all four of us on since we went to Take 4, but I'm on, and I haven't been on in forever. So hi, everyone. And joining me tonight is, in the best voice he has, is Patrick. How are you doing tonight, Patrick?
I'm doing wonderful, Bill. It's great to have you back on here.
I know. It's like I almost forgot what Disney Plus was.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah. But we have a few things. It's going to be relatively a quick list of shows tonight, but we do have some special coming on at the end. So stay tuned, as they would say, and we'll get to that. So let's kick right in on April 1st. And as far as I know, this is not an April Fool's joke. Is Herbie Fully Loaded. Now, this is the one from more recent with, I forgot her name now. Lindsay Lohan, I believe. Do you agree with me on that one?
Yep, you are correct.
Okay, cool. I passed that test. I don't know if I've watched it, so I will tune in tomorrow night. Oops, when this comes out, April 1st, and watch that. Then we have a premiere, Better Nate Than Ever. 13-year-old Nate has a big Broadway dreams, but when he isn't cast in the school play, he and his best friend Libby sneak off to the Big Apple, where he unexpectedly reunited with his long-lost aunt Heidi. Together, they must prove that life's greatest adventure is only as big as your dreams. So, that looks like a very interesting show to watch. And, of course, I'm sure there is a few life lessons in that, because it just seems like that's the kind of show it is. Disney likes giving life lessons too.
Yeah, you... I have to with that. Go ahead. I think they incorporate some good life lessons, especially into a lot of the stuff that they've been putting out lately. So I'm a big Broadway fan and a musical fan. So this was one that kind of intrigued me as I was reading through the list before we started.
And this is based off the book series, I believe, Better Nate. Is it Better Nate Than Ever? Yeah, Better Nate. Yeah, Better Nate. Oh, I guess he has Big Nate, Better Nate, all kinds of better Nates. So maybe. So yes, it will be a good one to watch, especially with your kiddos, which is the best thing to do with Disney Plus.
Unless that's right.
It's not a kiddie show. And then we have on Wednesday, April 6th, the second episode of Moon Knight. Have you watched the first episode yet?
I have not. I'm excited. That it came out. I'm waiting until I have some free time and nothing's going to get in the way of watching, of kind of interrupting that. So yeah. Really looking forward to it though. That's been the big premiere that I've been excited about probably for the last couple months.
Yeah. I was going to check it out today and I was like one of those, like, I think I have to be in the right mood. Not that the right mood. I can't watch it because of a mood, but it's like, I was not right. Right mood. I want to be in the right state of mind and everything to really get into it. So I'll put it off for probably skip through another weekend. And let's see, we're at now that you told me the whole list. Are you doing Friday, April 8th? That's right. Yes. So yep, I'll hand it over to you.
Awesome. Fantastic. So yeah, we got kind of a big day on April the 8th. Got some stuff. It looks like we're going back to a little old school. So we've got Chasing Mavericks, which was a 2012 movie. And it's about Jay Moriarty when they discover the mythic Mavericks surf break, one of the biggest waves on Earth. So it exists just miles from his Santa Cruz home. And he enlists the help of a local legend, Frosty Hessen, to train him to survive it. So this sounds pretty cool. I think anything that has to do with some beaches and, you know, tropical climates and some surfing always has a good place in my book. So that sounds fun to watch. Jordan Rides the Bus. So in the fall of 93, in his prime, the summit of sports world, Michael Jordan walked away from pro basketball, probably something we all remember. Ron Shelton, a former minor leaguer who brought his experience to life in the classic movie Bull Durham, will revisit Jordan's short career in the minor leagues as he's facing some obscurity in Birmingham, Alabama. So this one is really exciting for me. I grew up a big Bulls fan and Michael Jordan's fan, but I'm an avid baseball fan, Bill. So I remember very vividly back during that time frame when, even though I was young, when Jordan was transferring over into the minor leagues and kind of playing. That's why I followed it. So this is kind of my childhood coming out right here. So I'm excited about this coming out. So Silly Little Game, so that's a charts the origins of fantasy sports games from a small lunchtime group known as the Rotisserie League to the multi-million dollar industry that it's become today. The show also explores how none of the founders made money or even play the game anymore. So that's kind of, I think that'll be kind of intriguing as well to see that and see why, you know, people who made these fantasy games, like as the founders weren't making money and what was at play in that. So I think that sounds kind of interesting as well as we read through this. 4 days in October, when the night of October 16, 2004 came to a merciful end, the curse of the Bambino was alive and well. So using extensive archive footage from that week, Major League Baseball Productions will produce a film in real time that takes an in-depth look at the 96 hours that brought salvation to the Red Sox Nation and made baseball history in the process. I think you like baseball as well, Bill, but definitely seems like there's going to be a couple good little movies coming out during this time frame, or little documentaries around some baseball and some sports. So definitely an exciting time for this Friday. And then the last one on the 8th is going to be Fernando Nation. So it's The Natural is supposed to be a blue-eyed boy who teased a 36-ounce Louisville slugger. He should run like the wind and throw boysenberries through brick. He should come from California, says Steve Wolf, Sports Illustrated, 1981. So this is going to be about, so how is it that a pudgy 19-year-old Mexican left-hander from a remote village in the Sonoran Desert, unable to speak a word of English, came to America to sell out crowds and become a rock star overnight in the baseball world. So love the theme they're going with on this Friday. I think it's going to be an exciting time for, if you're a sports fan, to be able to jump on and watch some of these documentaries that are out there. Wednesday the 13th, we have Scrat Tales. So this is actually something new that Disney's coming out with. This is the season one premiere. All episodes will be streaming. So Ice Age Scrat Tales is a series of 6 all-new animated shorts starring Scrat, the helpless saber-toothed squirrel of the Ice Age adventures, who experiences the ups and downs of fatherhood as he and the adorable, mischievous baby Scrat alternatively bond with each other and battle for the ownership of the highly treasured acorn. Sounds kind of cool. I'm an Ice Age fan. I think like all of us, I'm a kid at heart, Bill. So this, I remember watching Ice Age when I was a little younger, maybe in the high school era. So this sounds kind of cute. Definitely going to watch this with the kids. Like you said, probably have some good little Disney theming and lessons in here with the bonding that's going to happen as they battle over that. So that might be a cute one to watch. And then we're going to have the Proud Family Louder and Prouder, episode 9, Raging Bullies, coming out. And then on Wednesday the 13th as well is going to be the 3rd episode of Moon Knight.
I'm going to just circle back to a couple. These are ESPN 30 on 30 episodes. Were 30 for 30. Just a couple observations I made. You got the Silly Little Game one about the start of the fantasy football or fantasy sports games, which, you know, some of you youngins probably don't recall this, that, and I was never in it at that point. And it was done with pencil and paper. And I don't know how, you know, like back, so I have to look and see how long ago they done, but it's like it wasn't where you could get on the computer, check out the scores. I mean, I don't know how they did it. Maybe it was in the computer age, just because I don't think they could have done it otherwise. But this episode came out in 2010. I mean, it's been 22 years since that's happened. No, 12 years. I'm really on this with the game tonight. Yeah, 12 years since this episode came out, so it'd be interesting to see the kind of how much this episode's kind of aged a little bit, and what I mean, it's just a crazy phenomenon now, even more than it was, you know, in back in 2010. And you know, it just, you know, with the computers and instant and this and that, and you know, I do it. I don't quite understand it all the time. I have fun a little bit. So yeah, that was my little observation on that one. And then, but I'm confused because I thought these 30 on 30s were all live. I'm not live. They were real events. Mm-hmm. So they snuck this one 4 days in October, which I believe is a fictional story. If I recall right, Drew Barrymore and just through my mind again, he's a talk show host, was on it. Saturday Night Live thing called Perfect Pitch,
yep.
I think it was called, that was a fictional story that I don't know why they're, you know, because I don't recall the Boston Red Sox beating the Yankees in any World Series in 2004. So that one a little bit confuses me why they threw that one in there, because I don't think that ever happened. And the last one, just, you know, haven't been on long, so you got to listen to me. Sorry. I, as a kid, remember Fernando Valenzuela. I remember that, you know, the hype when he was, you know, there for the Dodgers and all that stuff. He might have been one of, like, the first baseball cards I got. Don't have it now, of course, and probably worth nothing, even if I did. But I just remember, you know, that's one of the names that I remember from my youth from baseball back in the day. That was back when the Cubs play only day games. See, stay with me and you'll learn all kinds of useless information, as Steve, I've told before. So I think, thanks for letting me go back on that. Let's get back to our schedule. On Wednesday, April 20th, we have the season finale of The Proud Family, Louder and Prouder, episode 10, Old Town Road. And then we have episode 4 of Moon Knight. That's probably when I'll start watching, about episode 4.
Gotta get caught up and watch a couple at a time.
Yeah. So, and then we go into Friday, April 22nd, which is Earth Day. So we have a few Disney Nature premieres in honor of Earth Day. The first one is Polar Bear, which is narrated by two-time Academy Award nominee Catherine Keener. It is Disney Nature's Polar Bear tells the story of a new mother whose memories of her own youth prepare her to navigate motherhood in an increasingly challenging world that the polar bear faces today. Only question I have on that is, how did they know that the polar bear used her memories of being a youth? That's weird. And I guess they're smarter than me that they can figure that out. And then we have Bear Witness. Ooh, we're on a bear theme here. Journeys alongside the filmmakers behind Disney. It journeys alongside the filmmakers behind Disney Nature's Polar Bear as they face profound challenges 300 miles from the North Pole and trying to figure out how to get into the mind of a mother bear. That's amazing that they could do that. And then we have The Last Taipei, which is another Disney Plus Earth Day special. This one's from National Geographic, follows elite climber Alex Honnold from Free Solo and world-class climbing team led by National Geographic explorer and climber Mark Sinnott on a grueling mission deep in the Amazon jungle as they attempt a first ascent climb up a 1,000-foot sheer cliff. Yeah, I don't think I would want to do that, but I guess people like to climb.
This seems to be kind of the trend right now. There's a lot of these coming out on, if you watch them on Disney Plus and also some of the other streaming services. It seems to be that a lot of these, like Free Solo and some of these, like mountaineers and climbers, there's a lot of documentaries coming out. So I think it, for people like us who never would go out and do that, it's something exciting for us to watch, though, and kind of live through them on a TV screen without ever having to venture out and do it
or risk our life, go through the Amazon, you know, where they say that everything that's out there that moves is there to kill you or something.
Yeah.
Count me out. So then we have another Disney Plus Earth Day special premiere, The Biggest Little Farm, The Return. It's from Nat Geo is based on the 2018 award-winning feature documentary film that tells the story of John and Molly Chester, who abandoned their urban life in Los Angeles to live on a barren farm to grow delicious food in harmony with nature in Ventura County. The new special follows the farmer's 10-year tireless journey as they transform the land into a magical working farm and document the whole process in this heartwarming special that is akin to a real-life Charlotte's Web. Aww, you had me there. At Charlotte's
Sounds
Web.
Sounds wonderful.
And since now let's let you finish out with Wednesday. I won't tell you. It'll be a secret. You tell me what the date is.
Wednesday, April 27th. So on this day, we got another premiere coming out. This is season one of Sketchbook, and it's an intimate instructional documentary series. Sketchbook takes us onto the desks and into the lives of talented artists and animators. I think this one's going to be exciting as well. Each episode focuses on a single artist teaching us how to draw a single iconic character from a Walt Disney Animation Studios film. And as we learn the steps to drawing these characters, we also discover the artists themselves each have a unique story to tell about how they made their way to Disney and their chosen character. So this, and then we also have the episode 5 of Moon Knight coming out. So Sketchbook, I think out of all of these, Bill, is one that I'll probably be looking forward to the most as we work our way through April. I think that one and, you know, some of just seeing those iconic characters come to life on screen with the people who actually draw them. I think that's going to be such a unique kind of thing that Disney's going to be doing. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, me too. Maybe I'll learn something or two about how to draw better.
Yeah, maybe I'll learn how to sketch a little bit. Might be a good, and you get to take it for free. Well, if you count out the monthly payment that you're paying for Disney Plus. So either way, it's a cheap sketch class that you're going to have to be able to sit through. So I got a question for you though, Bill. So before we go into like our kind of surprise that we have for our listeners, what have you watched anything exciting this month on Disney Plus, or have you been watching anything recently?
Yeah, I have to look up to see what I watched last on. I actually had taken a little bit of a hiatus from it, not intentionally. It just, one of the things that just happens. And so I did watch, I actually snuck in and I watched Encanto. I mean, mm-hmm. I had to watch it. I was going to wait with my kids had already seen it with my wife, but I'm so into the album right now. And I'm like, I got to watch it just for no other reason than to know who's singing the part and kind of how it works into the story. And after watching the movie, which I loved, I got, you know, the songs mean even more now. So yeah, that's my jam right now is the Encanto, just like every probably 4 or 5, 6 year old album. And right. I also, now that you started Free Guy, I watched Free Guy too, which I had no idea what that was. I mean, I'd heard about it when it came out. I was so surprised about that one. I enjoyed that one immensely.
Awesome. Yeah, those are, I tell you what, Encanto is definitely one of those that we've been watching like crazy in our house too, right? And I think one of the cool things I saw on social media the other day, this family had posted that they were in the Magic Kingdom, and the girl who voices Mirabel in Encanto, Stephanie Beatriz, I think is how you say it. She just happened to be walking through, and this woman's son said, "Oh, mom, this is it's Mirabel." She recognized her voice from her talking, and apparently she was like great, came over, talked to the kid, let everyone take pictures with her, and was like extremely approachable and let all these little kids come around and talk to her. So that's what I love these things about, like, you know, when you see things like that on media or you hear about some of those experiences, I think that's especially when they can correlate that voice to a character when they're not really seeing that person on a screen. So I thought that was a really cool story surrounding Encanto that I'd read really recently. So I agree, though, like I haven't watched a whole lot of stuff. I tell you one thing that I've been going back to, though, I'm always one thing that I can always turn back on is I've watched National Treasure. working my way back through the Pirates of the Caribbean, which I don't think you can ever go wrong with. And then I've watched Saving Mr. Banks probably 5 or 6 times over the last couple of weeks. I've just kind of fallen in love with that movie.
That's cool. Those are all great movies. And speaking of Stephanie Beatrice, who is, if you ever watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a police satirical story movie or satire, she is a rough detective named Rosa in that, and you know, was really totally opposite of who she actually is and how she portrayed Maribel. And as you're saying, how the person recognized that, she, I noticed in her singing and in the acting, she really made that character come alive. And I really, that's one of my favorite parts was Maribel, because just the emphasis on the words and emotion that she put into it is just like,
she had a great wonderful performance.
Yeah, she did. You know, so someone I liked on another show comes in here and like, oh my goodness, dude. So yeah, that was back on that one again. That's cool that someone was able to meet her in person. So I think there is something else that's a couple of young ladies watched that, if I believe this correctly, are going to do a review of the new Disney movie that came out recently, Turning Red. So I think I'm going to hand it over to special guests that we have doing their segment today. We have Emma, Lindsay, and Lydia. Take it away, girls.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick with the Monorail Tales podcast, and I'm here tonight with one of my favorite co-hosts, Patrick Wheeler.
Hey, good evening, Rick. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am ready to go.
I'm very excited. This is what I think will be a fun episode because we have 3 very special guests with us. We have our daughters. We have my daughter, Emma Rose, and your daughters, we have both of them, Lindsay and Lydia. Say hello, girls.
Hi.
And tonight we are going to do something that has been, talk about something that's been all over social media, and that is the latest Disney Pixar movie, Turning Red. And we thought it would be fun to talk to these girls since they are pretty much the prime audience for the movie. So, Patrick.
Yes, you want me to get started?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we're going to ask the girls a couple questions that I think kind of fits into the characteristics of the movie with their age groups. So the first question for the girls is, how relatable is Mei Lin and her life to you and your life? So let's start with Emma Rose first.
I mean, we're both in middle school. I don't know.
Can you relate to her family situation?
Not really.
Why is that?
Because you guys aren't as strict as them.
We aren't.
No.
I'm going to have to work harder.
No.
You need to get on the ball on that one, Rick.
I know.
So, Lindsay, Lydia, how relatable is Mei Lin and her life to you and your life?
I mean, we're both in middle school.
Do you see some parallels to, you know, maybe what she's going through in her life to what you're going through in yours maybe right now?
Yeah.
Okay. How about like what Rick asked her? So what about her family life? Does that maybe align, or there are some differences that you see?
You guys aren't as strict.
Not as strict. All right. Well, I guess, Rick, we need to get together and brainstorm some stuff.
That's right.
Because apparently we got some work to do on this one. Lydia, what about you? Did you, can you relate? I know you're, so Lydia, for the listeners out there, she is a little bit younger than Emma and Lindsay. She comes in at 8 years old. So even though this relates a little more closely to Lindsay and Emma, Lydia wanted to be on here. So Lydia, is there anything that you kind of see with Mei Lin and you?
No.
She's shaking her head. Okay.
Well, There's one thing that I think the girls might want to consider, and that is how important Malin's friends are to her.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have friends like that that are so important and that are really, you know, they were really like a huge part of her life?
Yeah, I mean, I think, do y'all have friends that maybe keep you grounded in situations like she was going through?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No.
No, you're still a little too young for that, aren't you?
All right. Well, the next question we have is, how do you think your parents are compared to Maylin's parents? They've both said, or they all said, that we're not as strict as what her parents are. And I think really it's more her mother, Ming, is the strict one. Her dad doesn't seem like he's quite as strict. He's a little more laid back, but he doesn't, you know, contradict her.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think Ming is definitely, out of the two of them, the much more, you know, I think for the term, a helicopter parent. She's watching over everything, and Jin is just kind of, he's there. He may not agree with a lot of the stuff, but he supports his wife in the decision she makes and backs her. So I think, yeah, that would be a good question for the girls. Do you see any of that in your parents?
Well, you would just like the guy. You remind me of him.
Do you want to say that a little bit louder so people can hear it, Emma?
Well, you remind me of the dad.
How so?
You all look alike.
Am I as cool as her dad is?
No.
No?
He's way cool.
No. Okay. I think Rick's pretty cool, though, too.
So, Lindsay, is your mom, Amber, a lot like Maylin's mom?
Sometimes.
Do you think that she would be hiding outside the school?
No.
Why not? You think she'd be too embarrassed to do that?
Yeah.
She'd be more embarrassed than Lindsay.
Yeah.
So do you see anything from her mom and your mom, though? Any similarities?
Mom's more strict than you are.
No, your mom's more strict than I am?
Yeah, no.
Okay. How so?
I don't know.
Okay. Lydia's over here telling me I'm more strict than her mom is, so I think we've got a 50-50 consensus on our end, Rick.
Yeah. Who's more strict in your household, Emma? Me or mom?
It depends on the situation. At school, it's so you. But, like, with, like, everything else, it's mom.
Oh, okay.
I think that's a good blend, though. You know, depending on the situation, who it relates to, I think more. And I think that's kind of what you see in the movie as well.
Yeah. All right. You want to do the next question, Patrick?
Yeah. So, girls, do you think this movie and the topics presented help you to have conversations with your parents? So I think what I mean is, do the topics and everything that you've seen in the movie, do you think that would help you have conversations with your parents surrounding those topics that were presented?
Yes.
What about you, Lindsay?
Yeah.
How so?
I don't know.
Do you think it helps maybe bridge the gap a little more to some of those conversations that are maybe a little awkward or easier and makes it a little easier to bring up in conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Emma?
I guess.
Yeah, I think one good thing about this one, Rick, I think this was a really good question because I think what we saw was, as we were going through the movie, some of the things in here were kind of what we're experiencing, you know, with those 12 and 13 year olds, right? So I think it made those conversations. So I know multiple times we were pausing the movie and it actually helped bring about a conversation with Lindsay about some stuff and about some of those topics that were presented. So I think it did a really good job with that personally.
Yeah, I think one topic that Emma really identifies with would be, you know, how important her friends are to her and wanting to do things with them. And not that she could really sneak out. I think that the girls in the movie have a lot easier time of it because they live in Toronto. It's a city where you can easily get around.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas where we live in a rural area, you know, even if Emma did sneak out, you know, she'd have to walk a couple miles here to get to her friend's house.
Right, right, absolutely. It's not as convenient for them to go through that experience as it was in the movie. But yeah, I agree with that. So I think the friends, and then, you know, I think especially at that age when they're going through some of those emotions and they don't want to talk about it, and they're having, you know, it's making it awkward for, taking out that awkwardness. So it's allowing them to kind of see how important it is to have those conversations with their parents, and not hide anything and be able to have those open conversations about their emotions and, you know, what's going on in their life. And I think that kind of resonates with, you know, Lindsay and what's going on in Milton Middle School right now. So I think that has really helped out as we watch that movie.
Yeah. Let me ask the girls, do you think that the over-the-top humor in which the situations were presented makes it easier to talk about them?
I don't know.
All right. The next question is, do you think this movie encourages you to be disrespectful to your parents or rebellious?
No.
Why not, Emma?
Oh, yeah, it's like a Disney movie. Like, some people want to rebel. Yes. Plus, I don't like getting in trouble. So.
Yeah, I think that kind of sums it up right there, because even though Maylin did rebel against her parents, there were consequences for her actions.
Would you agree with that, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%, Rick.
Yeah, I think showing that there are consequences for your actions was really a good move and responsible on the part of Pixar, you know, because, you know, one pushback that I've seen on social media is that people were saying that the movie encourages children to be disrespectful, to actively disobey their parents, and that's not the case. You know, the character does it, but there are, you know, consequences and punishments for what she did.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I think Disney and Pixar did a good job with being able to blend that, because, you know, I think that's a very hard age to maneuver through. So, you know, they want to rebel. They're becoming their own person. They want to find out who they are, but they don't want someone telling them what to do and hovering over them all the time. So I think that really allowed, you know, especially like Lindsay and Emma and the girls who were tailored to that age, who the movie was tailored towards, I think it allows them to see that they're, like, you know, to your point, there are consequences to that. But also, I think on the flip side, too, you saw it from Ming and her mother. I think, mother, was her name Wu? You see that from their relationship. So one hovered over the other and created this relationship that was extremely strained, even as they were adults. So I think you see the consequences even at that point in life when you're not connected, you're not talking, and you're trying to rebel, and what those consequences are. So I thought those were some good parallels with both ages that you saw.
Yes, and also towards the end of the movie, it showed the realization that Ming had, that, you know, she needed to, you know, step back a little bit from, you know, the way she was controlling everything with Maylin's life, and let her make some of her own decisions and have her own thoughts and provide a safe space for those things to happen. Do you think that's an important thing, Emma?
Yeah.
To be able to make your own decisions, but have a safe place to make them?
Yes.
I think that's a really good point. So I think that transitions us well to the next question, is if you could turn into an animal when you have high levels of emotion, what animal would you turn into?
Me? A duck.
A duck. Why?
Because I like ducks.
Because you like ducks. Okay. That's a good answer. What about you, Lindsay?
I don't know. Maybe a chicken.
A chicken?
Yeah.
You just want to be like Emma and have a bird in there?
No, I like chickens.
Have feathers.
How about you, Lydia?
Cat.
You turn into a cat? Okay. Well, I guess they're going with all their favorite animals and not something like in the movie that was protective.
Yeah, I thought Emma would turn into a sloth.
I expected one of these girls to say it. They both love regular pandas, but I figured one of them might say a different animal, but we didn't go that way, so.
All right, girls, who was your favorite character in the movie? Lindsay?
Probably Abby.
Yeah, she's kind of intense, isn't she?
Yeah.
Lydia?
Lydia saying she forgot her name. Which one was she? The one with the glasses.
In the yellow.
Priya?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. How about you, Emma? Who is your favorite?
I don't know her name, but she's one of the ants.
She's one of the ants?
Yeah. I think that's the one with, like, the bracelet.
The ants were pretty funny. Yeah.
They were. I really liked how they it almost turned into, like, the Power Rangers old school Captain Planet type ordeal when they started transitioning into their pandas.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me, you know, Maylin has her squad, I guess, for a lack of a better word. And then the grandmother had hers as well, you know, when they all showed up.
Right. It goes to show you how important friends are, even and no matter what stage you are in life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, girls, next question. What was your favorite scene? Lindsay, you just told me your favorite scene earlier. What was it?
I don't know. I don't even remember what I said.
You were telling me something.
That was Lydia.
All right, Emma, what was your favorite? We'll come back.
Whenever the mom is in the big panda and she goes to the dome and she completely destroys it. And then the guys are just hanging on to the
fort town.
Yeah. They're just hanging on and they're just like in the middle of everything. And it's just like they're just existing there. Like, it's just fine because, like, she just came and destroyed everything.
Hilarious.
Not really much they could do, was there?
Yeah.
All right, back to you, Lindsay.
Okay. Probably when the mom's outside the school.
When the mom's outside the school? That'd be pretty embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would be you.
The cleaning? Though. That would not be me. No, that was a good scene, though. That was pretty hilarious because I think that allowed you to see the true, high level of emotion that Maylin had and how embarrassed she was when she just turned in front of everybody. So that was a good scene. Take over the last question.
Yeah. What was the biggest cringe moment in the movie, Lindsay?
Probably like the drawings and then mom going into the store.
Yeah, that was really awkward. I felt so bad for that boy.
Oh. Definitely an embarrassing moment for everybody involved.
What about you, Emma?
That scene where they're all talking, like, near the lockers, and then you see that guy that, like, but he looks, he's, like, so he's at the lockers, and he, like, flips his hair, and then Maylin's, like, I don't know, like, she goes, like, she has, like, a crush on him, or something, for, like, literally 5 seconds, and then it just stops.
Yeah. What about you, Lydia?
She agrees with Lindsay. They were talking about that earlier when we were talking about the movie. They both said that would make them cringe and be embarrassed if that ever happened to them.
Yeah. All right. I got 1.5 more questions that aren't on the sheet, and it's pretty easy. What would you rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 10?
An 8? Yeah.
What about you, Lindsay?
Probably like a 7.
7. Lydia?
10.
10. Would you girls recommend this movie to your friends? Would you watch it with your friends?
Yes. Yeah.
It'd be funny to watch.
Say that louder, Emma.
I said it'd be really funny to watch just with like your friends.
As long as your parents aren't in the room. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, girls, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun. And Patrick, thanks for joining as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see everybody real soon. Say goodbye. Okay.
Have a good night.
Bye. Bye.
Wow. I now want to watch Turning Red even more than before. Thank you, girls, for that awesome segment. I just want to thank Patrick again for coming on with me and helping me get reacclimated to Disney Plus Take 4 show. And I think I did okay. Plus,
You didn't miss a beat, Bill.
I was going to say, our editor's probably going to make me even sound better. So thank you for coming on. And I want to thank you, the listeners. If it wasn't for you, I'd just be talking into a soup can, which who knows, maybe this is a soup can. And they're just letting me pretend like I'm talking. And if you want to continue the fun, well, watch Disney Plus and jump on our, well, first you can check out our website at monrailtales.com, and that's T-A-L-E-S, because we're telling tales. And check out our Facebook page, same thing, Monorail Tales Podcast, I believe it is. And we also have a private group, which is a real fun group. We got a lot of people in there that, you know, are sharing stuff from the parks, and have, you know, a nice guy, gentleman that we know that's sharing some t-shirt or shirts that he has his collection, and a conversation on a lot of stuff. So we have a lot of fun. It's a safe place, and everyone respects each other, and just enjoy the true magic of Disney on there. So thank you, everyone, and I guess it's time to say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.